There's at least one nation on Earth that has decided that children diagnosed with a disability, specifically Down syndrome, before birth should be exterminated and executed before they're born. But are children with disabilities and differences actually worthless, or does their life have meaning? In just a moment, I'm going to introduce you to a photographer who is celebrating those differences and recognizing that these children are very special, and she's making a difference and an impact in the whole world. That coming up right now on Pillow Talk.
I'm an anti-feminist because I think it's oppressive. I think it's anti-male. I think it's anti-femininity.
Now, it may be a very weak Brexit, but I'll tell you what, Brexit of any kind and leaving those treaties as well.
That's the best ever interview. The Michael Parkinson, you got nothing on this bloke.
Welcome to Pillow Talk. My name is Dave Pillow, and today I have the distinct honour and privilege of meeting and introducing you to one of the most beautiful souls that you will see and hear about this year. Her name is Angela Forker, and she is making waves all around the world, taking photos of children and telling their stories. And it's a really beautiful story, but it's not just any child that she's taking photos of. She's taking photos of newborns. And if you know anyone who has a child with special needs, or if you have a child with special needs, then you may have heard about the dilemma that a lot of photographers have on how do you take a photo and how do you get them to sit up and how do you get to pose them properly. And it's a common problem. And I know photographers who've had this problem. And what about being a parent without those photos in your family home? Well, Angela has found a solution to that, and her work is in high demand. But perhaps most startling of many beautiful things about her story is she does it all for free. Welcome to Pillow Talk, Angela.
Thank you, Dave.
Now, tell me about how you came into the special needs children photography business.
Sure. I was a newborn photographer, which that in itself was a big surprise for me, because before that, my husband and I were missionaries and thought we would be missionaries the rest of our lives. And then God just changed our course, and he started speaking to me saying he had great things for me to do, and that he was going to open doors greater than I could even imagine. And I seriously thought I was crazy. I thought I was crazy just for becoming a newborn photographer, but then for thinking that God was really going to use me to do great things because through my photography. And then 2 years ago, I was praying, and God just spoke to me. I actually prayed, God, I pray that you would use this gift of newborn photography that you've given me. Is there any way you can use this? And actually 3 years ago, he said, yes, I want you to pray a prayer of blessing over every new baby that comes to you. So here I am, an established newborn photography business, and God wants me to pray over every baby that comes to me. I've prayed over atheist families, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, everything. And so far, of maybe these 300 plus families that I've prayed over, only one person has said no, they would not like me to pray.
So you're asking them, can I pray over your baby and pray a blessing over them? And
it's like a really awkward moment at the end of the session. Because how do you even say that? They're coming, they're paying me money to take pictures of their little newborn. Okay. And now I'm like, oh, by the way, but really I don't. It's a little awkward, because how do you even bring it up? And so I'll just say, so I know this is going to sound really strange. That's how I start, because it's downright shocking for some of them. Yeah, and I just let them know what God laid on my heart. Mm-hmm. And I let them know I would never want to offend anyone. And if so, if you would rather not, if it makes you feel uncomfortable, then we just won't pray. Yep. And only one family has said no.
Okay. And is this newborn photography business going on while you're pastoring with your husband, you and your husband pastoring a church? And is that in Indiana or in Verona?
In Indiana. Okay. So we were missionaries. We were missionaries to Italy.
Yep.
And then God just changed the course of our lives. And so it's been about a little over 4 years now that God opened the door for my husband to be pastoring a church here in Northern Indiana.
Great.
And then he also laid it on my heart to start a newborn photography business, which I seriously thought I was crazy. Sure. And then I thought, oh, we're here pastoring a broken church. God wanted me to do this so we'd have money to help us to live.
I'm interested in, we won't take too long on this, but I'm interested in the words you chose, broken church. In what way was it broken?
The former pastor, there were some problems there, and the church just really scattered. There were very few people when we got there, and so there was really no money to pay a pastor. Right. And so little by little, we've been building this church.
So your family really needed you to be making some money on the side while your husband's essentially working for free, rebuilding the flock in this church.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Exactly. So I thought it was just practical. I thought, okay, God wants me to become a newborn photographer. I couldn't quite figure that one out, but I'm like, okay, I love babies. I love doing photography. So I just started doing that. Mm. And then so as my business really, actually my business got recognized around the world the first time because I started doing these scenes that I'd seen by Adele Anderson. And it's just these floor scenes that I call it painting my scene with fabric. And so I have a scene on the floor and I just drape fabric and I make a whimsical scene and the baby might be flying. The baby might look like the baby's jumping or something impossible. And my theme is anything is possible.
Right.
And so my work started to get known around the world just from that. But then,
before you were doing special needs kids.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And so it was just, but you know, something goes viral and then it settles down and your life is normal again. So my life was normal and I'm like, okay, this is good. You know, I can just be a normal newborn photographer again, doing these crazy scenes. But people would start coming from kind of far to have their baby photographed in a scene like this that I would create just for them.
How far is far?
Well, 2-3 hours, like they'll come even from Chicago, you know, when normally, you know, people will just come in your city,
right.
You know, and people started coming 2-4 hours.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's when you just have a photographer by you, why would you do that? But they recognized that this was something different.
That's high kudos if somebody's going to get on a plane, maybe to come and ask you to take their photo.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with a newborn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so in this case, so that was just my normal photography. Mm-hmm. And then so about 2 years ago, wasn't even 2 years ago, last January, then I was just praying, God, I pray my photography would save lives. And I know that sounds like a ridiculous, I know. I was a newborn photographer and I'm like, where did that prayer even come from? But then I thought, well,
did you have any imagination how that might be possible? How God might answer
whatsoever.
That prayer?
Yeah. Nothing at all. What I thought maybe was maybe somebody would be carrying a baby and maybe they were considering abortion and maybe they would just see one of these pictures of this new baby and think, life is beautiful.
Mm.
So in my mind, that's just what I prayed. I honestly pray that God would somehow be felt in my photography. I pray that his anointing would be upon all of my work.
Beautiful.
And I've actually had people, I've had people reach out to me saying, I feel God in your work. And I'm just like, wow, God, you answered that prayer. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, you know, and maybe somebody would look at my work and say, boy, I don't feel God in it. You know, I don't know, but that is my prayer. I pray crazy prayers, but I feel like God put those prayers in my heart. So that was that prayer last January. And so not even 2 years ago, I prayed that prayer. And then I believe it was in February. Then God just put it in my heart. He showed me that these scenes that I was creating, you know, making a baby look like they're doing something impossible. He showed me that these scenes would be perfect for a baby with special needs. And so I was just like, Wow, I never thought of that. Because, you know, a baby with special needs, actually a lot of photographers will say, I'm a little afraid. I don't know how to pose your baby. I've had many parents tell me, we tried and tried to get pictures of our baby and the photographers all said no.
Right.
And I'm trying to change that with photographers. But it's
so good.
That's such a small part of the reason for it. So God really showed me, I didn't see the full picture of it at first. I thought, okay, I'm going to take pictures of these babies with special needs. And then God started just stirring it up in my heart. We're showing the world that these babies have value.
Yep.
And then, so my motto for that is, every baby is precious.
Yep.
And so I'm showing the world that every baby is beautiful, every baby is valuable, and every baby has a purpose. Yeah. And I've seen that just in this project, that these parents, they're questioning, why did this happen to my baby? And then they're in this project and they're seeing their baby's photos touching so many lives.
Lovely.
And changing people's thinking about babies and children with special needs. And so we're just starting to see so much. And only a month or two after I started the project. So remember my prayer. I pray my photography would save lives.
Mm-hmm.
A couple months later, I get this phone call. And it's the Advanced Perinatal Care Center at the hospital, at our local hospital. So basically, if someone is going to their regular OBGYN, and they're pregnant and they find there's either a problem with themselves, you know, high blood pressure or something, or a problem with the baby, then they're referred to this clinic upstairs at the hospital. So a lot of them, there's a problem with the baby. And this clinic contacted me and they said, we've seen your work for the Precious Baby Project. We would like to have your work displayed in our clinic. And what God showed me was these women are going to be sitting there thinking, should I abort this baby? And then they look up and they see these beautiful pictures. The central piece of all of the Precious Baby Project is this baby. He has trisomy 18 and he's flying away. He looks like he's flying away with these balloons that spell out hope.
Lovely.
And they look up and see there's hope. And the day after those pictures went up in that clinic, a lady wrote to me and she said, I was sitting here in the clinic and I looked up and saw these beautiful babies. And I knew that even though my baby would be different than other babies, I would still love that baby and that baby would bring joy to me.
That's beautiful.
And that was just the beginning. And then from there, it has exploded all around the world. It's in different clinics. It's in hospitals.
Wow.
And God is causing these pictures to be seen by millions of people around the world.
Awesome.
And I'm truly amazed. And with this project, it's really important that I show people that they're beautiful. I'm showing people beauty maybe in unexpected places. Maybe they didn't expect to see such beauty with a baby that has complex medical needs. Mm. I mean, there was this one baby that had the vent, and the vent is hard. A trach is not so bad. You know, it's just the little thing right there to help them breathe. A vent is, I don't know the right terms, but it's this trach here. But then it's these big tubes leading to the oxygen. I don't even know what you call it. I just know
they come in.
The one family came in with a wagon
Wow.
full of instruments that keep their baby alive.
Gee.
And I was like, how am I going to take a picture of this
baby?
He had wires coming out everywhere.
Wow.
But I was like, I was really praying. I said, God, I'm really stumped with this one. And so I made the word love and I left out the V. So I have like letters and blocks and they're making the letters for L, O, and E. And I thought, how about for the V, we have the baby lying this way, but all those tubes that I have no idea what to do with, we're going to bring them back up the body and they're going to make the other side of the letter V. And that picture, I've had men, grown men say, I wept when I saw that picture.
Wow.
And so, so much of this project is even making light of these, I call them accessories.
Yeah.
I'll ask parents, does your baby have any, I'll put in quotes, accessories, you know? And I feel like by making it lighter, I'm just letting the parents know it's okay. Your baby has a G-tube. It's totally okay. Your baby has a vent. It's okay. This is a part of your baby's story. And so I don't just photograph the baby. You know, it's like some photographers, many photographers would actually try to hide the wires and hide the tubes and everything. And I do not hide them. I actually, I incorporate them into the picture. And we just celebrate the differences. We tell the baby's story and we just show the world, this baby is beautiful, just as this baby is. And I just love it so much. And I love what these babies are doing in this world. And people are just so moved when they see these pictures. And I do believe hearts and minds are being touched.
Yeah. Now, not every baby has a optimistic outlook, a positive or long life ahead of it. And your photos are helping parents celebrate the beauty of the life that they have. Tell me about the first baby that actually started bringing you into this area, the couple in your church that had a terrible prognosis when they were pregnant.
Yes. And actually, before I even started the Precious Baby Project, I believe this story is really what inspired everything. And everything that is done for the Precious Baby Project is actually in memory of Madeline. But this couple found out that their baby would have a severe condition, so severe that they said the baby wouldn't even make it full term. If the baby did make it to term, the baby would not be alive. If the baby was by some chance born alive, the baby wouldn't have much time at all to live. And they weren't just encouraged to abort. They were quite forcefully told, you have to abort this baby. And several doctors said it quite forcefully. And they said, no.
Good on them.
This is our baby. And we're going to love her however she comes into the world. And when she's born, we want her to know that we love her. We want her to know she's loved. And Madeline was born alive. And she looked different than other babies. But I will never forget what they wrote on their Facebook. They didn't show her face because they were a little worried about what people might say. They weren't ashamed at all. But, you know, you want to protect your baby.
Yeah.
And
people are ugly, very, very ugly.
Yes, they can be. Yes. Mm. But their words were, she's perfect. She's beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I will never, ever forget that. Never. Mm. That left such an impression on my heart, the great love they had for her and the beauty they saw in her. And honestly, when I saw her, all I could see was beauty. She just had a unique beauty and you couldn't help but fall in love with her. And she lived for, I believe, 15 days.
Right.
And they celebrated every day that they had with her. And at her funeral, we had a balloon launch and they launched 15 balloons. And for each day that they had with her, celebrating the 15 days that they had her in their lives. And it was so moving and so beautiful.
It must have meant a lot to Madeline's parents to have a photographer who could see the beauty in their child that they could see and to help them celebrate and preserve those memories forever.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just so beautiful. It was, do you know what it means to parents to have someone say, your baby is beautiful? Even when their baby looks different than everybody else's baby.
Yeah.
They just want what every other parent wants. They want people to say, your baby's beautiful. Yeah. And at this point in this project, all I see is beauty. Like I see a baby that could look so different and all I can see is beauty. It's a new kind of beauty. And I've come up with the saying for the project is sometimes life happens differently than expected. But if you will open up your heart, you'll find a new kind of beauty.
That's so true. We've become so shallow in Western culture. And if anything is deviating from the norm, I mean, there's the differences and the diversity that we love to celebrate. But then there's all these differences that if life's not perfect, we like to, well, quite honestly, execute and get rid of. And the justifications used for ending somebody's life are just so indulgent and shallow and meaningless. I mean, this is a really light, lovely topic, but, you know, to just go really deep and uncomfortable for a minute, you know, there's nations where suffering is just an everyday part of their existence, where they fight for a bowl of rice and for, you know, just basic human dignity. And yet with you know, suffering in the West, in the developed, luxurious, comfortable, prosperous West, it's like the end of all possibility of meaningful life. And it's like, no, sometimes, you know, life happens, like you said, differently than expected. That doesn't make it worthless or meaningless or deserving of being ended prematurely and unnaturally.
There are some babies that some situations that really touch my heart, and it's that these babies were actually adopted because of their special needs.
Oh, I love this part of your work.
Yeah. Oh, but I didn't adopt them, but I'm so thrilled that these parents are seeking out these babies because they have special needs and they're adopting them.
Yeah, heroes.
Yes, they are. And that absolutely touches my heart. I think one baby that I can think right off the top of my head would be, she's a little baby that was from China, and she has, it's Wolf-Hirschen or something disease. And is a terminal disease. And she's just beautiful. And actually, it was their son. I can't remember how old he was. And the parents have a bunch of kids and they're like, we're done adopting. And the son said, and they were looking at the site of children with special needs that needed to be adopted. And her son said, but mom, look at her. We need to adopt her into our family. And they adopted her.
Oh, bless his heart.
It's so beautiful. Wow. And this love that these families have for these children. You know, something that's very surprising to me, I knew that parents with children with special needs love their children, of course, but I didn't know how passionate they would love their children. People think, oh, I can't do this. They don't realize what love and joy that child will bring them. Will there be heartache? Yes. Will there be pain? Yes. But those moments of joy are so great. And these parents will fight for their child. They will do anything for the health and the well-being of their child. And I'm truly moved by the love of these parents for their children.
Tell me about the one part of your work that I want to show the viewers now. And so please tell me the story about another lady or couple who were pressured and over again in a very ugly and unwelcome way to have an abortion. And that was the parents of the conjoined twins who were at the top of their head.
Yes, yes. So while she was carrying these twins, you know, they found out the devastating news that they were conjoined, and it was from the top of the head. I saw a picture of when they were conjoined and their bodies were like this. And so in order for the parents to even hold their baby, one parent had to hold this baby here and the other parent had to hold this baby this way. And so
I remember reading that because of the way they were physically arranged, they couldn't sit up at all for the first 18 months of their lives, or until they were separated.
Yeah, until they were separated. Like, there was just no way. And so I'll never forget when I got that phone call. And, like, I get phone calls from around the world, people telling me about their child with special needs. And when she called, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And she said, we have twins, and they were formerly conjoined. And I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. Formerly conjoined, like conjoined, you know, trying to really understand what she was saying. And I was like, okay, I did hear her correctly. And so, and she said about how they spent most of their lives in the hospital. They're very traumatized by all that they had been through, actually.
I bet.
But the surgery was successful. And when it's at the head and they share part of the brain, very often one will do better than the other. And that's just the way it is. Mm. And so the one son will do better. He was already starting to move, like to be almost walking and everything, whereas the other one may be wheelchair bound. But they just asked if it was possible for me to get a picture of them. And technically they were way beyond the specifications. I try to keep it under 27 inches. And it's supposed to be a child that is not moving, like not rolling back to front. Cause what happens is they're rolling and running away and wrecking my scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
27 inches. So they fit in my scene. And then also, so they're not really moving and wrecking the scene. Yeah. But in this case, I just felt like this story needs to be told. This, the way this woman said, I wish I could remember the exact quote about the way they wanted her to kill her twins. The way she said it was very powerful. I can't remember her exact words.
I remember you quoting it now on some of the research I've done on you and why this story stood out to me. She said something along the lines of, I'm not going to kill my babies today.
Something
similar.
Yeah. And it was just like, and I was just so proud of them, you know, for giving their children this chance to live. Mm. This was very challenging because not only were they much larger than I normally would do, there were two of them. So that's going to add some challenge. And then the one was moving. Mm. He was almost walking. And so I'm like, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to come up with a game plan that if this guy here doesn't cooperate, we can still do it just with this guy. So what I had in my mind was it had to be a really simple scene to be able to fit them in, but I was just going to have a kite. And they had a saying, a motto. Everybody was saying it's impossible that they're going to be able to separate the twins. And they had this motto, I'm possible. So on the kite, on the tail of the kite, I have, I'm possible.
Nice.
And then the kite symbolized when they were together. And I actually have a picture of them when they were conjoined on the kite. Mm-hmm. And then the two strings of the kite are separated. And so the one twin would be holding onto it and like flying with the kite just for something fun. I love impossible things like that. Mm-hmm. And then the other twin, if he would cooperate, and it took about an hour to get him to fly there. But I was like, I want this so badly for this mother that I'm willing to do whatever we need to do to try to get him settled. Oh, in the end, we played a game with him and he laid there. So, we had a bear there just in case. If he didn't cooperate, then a bear would have been standing in his place holding the other string to the kite.
And what would you have done? Photoshop him in later?
No, because we couldn't have even gotten his picture.
Oh, right.
It just would have been a bear and the other twin. But I knew for that picture to have the full impact, we had to get his twin in there.
Yeah.
And somehow it just happened.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we got both of those little boys smiling. Like the one was actually laughing, the one that hardly shows emotion.
Wow.
And it was just all beautiful and amazing. God. So that was very, very, very challenging, but in the end it was just so worth it.
Yeah. Angela, that's so beautiful. But all parents have challenges, maybe not to the depth and regularity that parents of special needs kids do. Mm-hmm. And even when they're grown up, they can bring all kinds of heartache. And perhaps the next evolution in your photographic ministry may have been inspired in part by just such an occasion with one of your children at 19 years of age. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that. In 1984, President Ronald Reagan proclaimed a national day to observe the sanctity of human life on the anniversary of the legalization of abortion in the Supreme Court. In 2020, Australian churches are proclaiming Sanctity of Life Sunday as a national day for God's people to bear witness that life is a sacred gift from God, to compassionately minister forgiveness and healing for past abortions, and to promote community-based resources supporting women facing an unplanned pregnancy. This non-partisan, non-denominational, Christian initiative seeks to resource churches to lead a transformation of the culture into one which affirms the sanctity of life and encourages national leaders to also publicly promote a culture of life. If you would like to add your church to the list of congregations bearing public witness to the nation of the sanctity of life, as well as to your church community and by extension those in their circle of influence, you can get more information at sanctityoflifesunday.com.au, where pastors and priests can add your congregation name and get free resources for sermons and services to suit your church community. There's also a petition to the Prime Minister asking him to make this an official national day on the website. G.K. Chesterton once wrote, "We do not want a church that will move with the world. We want a church that will move the world." The Australian church is not waiting for a national leader, but taking up its leadership as the people of God to declare the last Sunday in May as Sanctity of Life Sunday. Each of us bearing witness to our nation by publicly celebrating God's sacred gift of life, created in His holy image. Get involved today at sanctityoflifesunday.com.au. Perhaps the next evolution in your photographic ministry may have been inspired in part by just such an occasion with one of your children at 19 years of age. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So while we were missionaries to Italy, and one of our daughters, when she was 19 years old, got pregnant. And the interesting thing was she never once considered abortion. She knew, this is my child. I am going to love him. So abortion wasn't on her radar. It was nothing we had to contemplate. And yet it did put something in my heart. I think I always joke and say I was born pro-life, which I think we all were.
I think we all are. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but it really did do something in my heart. That unplanned child was the reason I started doing pictures of newborn photography.
Really?
It's wow. One of the greatest joys of our lives. Mm. I started doing newborn photography because of him. And because of him, the entire course of my life was changed to where I would be doing a work that would be touching millions of lives, showing the value of life.
Wow. All because look, that's of just
unexpected baby.
That's just a huge lesson right there for us, you know, one and unplanned child. And because of him, look at all the wonderful beauty that's been brought into the world and celebrated because of the impact he's had on your family. That's yes. Just profound.
All because of one unplanned child. Mm. And so that just, it just really instilled something in my heart once again, that every life is valuable. Every life has a purpose. And yeah. His purpose has been so great. And so at the beginning of this year, so I don't know that I really was thinking about him, and yet I always have that in my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, his life was unplanned, and yet it changed our lives for good in so many ways. Mm. At the beginning of this year, though, I prayed another crazy prayer. So me and my crazy prayers at the beginning of the year, I don't know. I don't know why. But really, I believe God's putting these prayers in my heart. So I prayed at the beginning of this year. It was like January. And I said, God, I thank you that you answered my prayer last year, that you're using my photography to save lives. But I also wanted my photography to bring people to you. And maybe I never fully voiced it, but, you know, I pray God, I pray that you'd be seen in my photography. And so at the beginning of this year, I said, God, I just pray that somehow you could use my photography to bring people to you. And I'm a newborn photographer and also, you know, doing pictures of babies with special needs. And I'm like, why would I pray a prayer like this? And again, it was later. It might have been February of this year. I wasn't praying that prayer. I was just getting ready for church. My mind was actually blank. I'm getting ready for church. And I just felt like God just impressed on me to start a series of photos of post-abortive women. It's really hard for me to talk about this because I said no. I said, first of all, I've never had an abortion. If I do this, everyone's going to think I had an abortion. My other argument was, okay, I'm a pastor's wife. I have a newborn photography business. I have a project that is just keeping me hopping. Like, I have no time to do anything. I would often be working till midnight, 1 and 2 in the morning, just trying to get all these factors of my life done. And God's putting a new project in my life. And I said, I can't. And then I didn't voice this. And this is the part that's really hard for me to admit. And I feel bad because I think it might bring pain to people. But there's a beautiful side of it, so I have to bring it out because I think there are a lot of people who maybe feel this way. But I thought maybe that they didn't deserve to be forgiven. And if you have had an abortion, I ask you to forgive me for that. Because immediately something happened. God came and he showed me his immense love and compassion for post-abortive women. It was so strong and so heavy, I just couldn't stop weeping. And I said, oh God, if you love them this much, then yes, I will do this for you. And really, I am a new person ever since I said yes to this project. I put it out there that I wanted to start a project. I needed some post-abortive women who would like to share their story. God, when God spoke to me, he said that I need to do it exactly as he told me to do it. And so this is kind of scary. This is like, okay, this mission here, I have to do it just as God said. So I'm like, okay, God, how do I do it? And God said to reach out to the women, to just kind of put it out there, you know? And I don't know how, just people started finding me. It was crazy.
You don't people have a small profile.
It was very crazy how people like who are in the pro-life movement here, they just reached out to a couple friends and the couple friends said, I would like to do this. And when people saw their photos, everybody started writing to me saying, I need to be a part of this project. So what God showed me though, was that I needed to like do a questionnaire and ask them some questions. Tell me your story. Tell me like, I can't even remember, like some of the leading lines are like, I felt like it really hurt me. Anyway, leading sentences like that, just to kind of help them really share their feelings. Because what we're supposed to be doing is showing the world that there is true pain and suffering that follows an abortion. You can't just say, I think I'll have an abortion and think life is going to be normal because it will not. What I've seen from so many of these women is it will haunt you the rest of your life. So these women write to me. I have like a questionnaire. They tell me their story. They answer the questions. And from that, I pull out quotes that I think could really touch people. Some of the quotes are about the pain of the abortion, but some of the quotes are also about the healing that they found. That is everybody's favorite photo, the redemptive photo. And so God showed me that these pictures are supposed to be a square, which I never do. They're supposed to be dark and almost eerie looking, which if you saw my newborn photography and my precious baby photography, it's bright, cheerful, happy, and these are almost haunted looking. God showed me that they were supposed to be raw and real. The women who write to me, the women who give me their quotes, those are the women in the photos. Their quote is under their photo. And what they're doing is they're showing the world, finally the world understands their pain. Broken and trying to glue herself together, she has glue, bottles of glue all around her. She has bandage just all wrapped around her, oozing in paste. And I told one of the ladies, I said, we kind of go, kind of get extreme as we're showing the world your pain. And the woman said, not extreme enough to really show it.
Oh my.
Yeah. And so every woman that comes to me for the After the Abortion series has a story to tell. There's the woman that I poured ashes all over her. I just took a lady out and it was freezing outside and she went in the water. She wanted to go in the water and she's covered in a red veil. And these ladies just say, literally they fly out to me or they pay. Actually next week I'm going out. Somebody's paying my way to go fly out to them. We are going to go in the abortion clinic where she had her abortion, which is former. It's not an abortion clinic anymore.
I was going to say, how'd you get permission?
Yeah, we're going into the former abortion clinic.
Wow.
And what I saw in my mind, I was just praying, God, how am I going to do that? And all of a sudden, I saw a hospital gown. Her in a hospital gown in the rooms, in the hallway. And it's going to be so powerful. And so she's paying my way to go out to North Carolina next week. And we're going to take pictures there. So women come from all over the United States to be a part of this. It's really crazy. It's so crazy how far people come to be a part of this. And I literally have women tell me, I have to be a part of this series. And also what they say is, I always say, there's healing that comes when you share your story.
So true.
There's healing that comes. And these women, as they're telling their story, sometimes it's the first time that they're putting it out there. I had an abortion. And what they're finding is that people are just responding in such a positive way. And like, I had no idea. And thank you for sharing your story. Most of the women who come to me have found a deep healing in Jesus.
You know what? That's a question I've had in my mind in the last minute or two is are there women who have come to you who have not yet found their healing, who are still just destroyed by this trauma in their past?
Yes, actually, just last week, let me see if I can just pull up her photo. She broke my heart. It broke my heart. She's holding a sign and it says, I'm not okay. And when Karen reached out to me, I told her, I said, generally, women are farther along in their healing process when they come to me, but I feel like God can use you even in your brokenness. So I made an exception for her. And she tells her story. She's holding this sign, I am not okay. And she says, I was 17 and found out I was pregnant. I was sure my mother would support my decision to have the baby. I was wrong. Oh. She kept saying, you know what you have to do.
Oh dear.
I can't believe I had to choose between my mother loving me and my own baby.
Oh, God,
but I was scared. And I picked my mother. What a mistake. I cried and cried. Oh. And this lady said she's been going through years of counseling and nothing can help her. But when she came for her session, it was really beautiful. And I said, I believe God didn't just bring you here for your session. I believe God brought you here to help you farther along in your healing.
Of course.
And also, these ladies, I end the session praying over them. And this prayer is a lot more intense than just, you know, my newborn's coming to me. It is a really, God's presence comes down and his love and God just pours just a little more healing oil into their hearts at the end of the session.
Yeah.
And knowing that even her in her brokenness, that God was going to use her even in her brokenness to bring healing to others. And oh my, when we posted her picture, I let people know that she wasn't as far along in her healing. And I said, could you just give her a little love? And all the comments were so beautiful. Wow. I was just overwhelmed. She was overwhelmed by everybody's, by everybody's comments and everything.
How long has it been since she was 17 and had that abortion? How old is she now? Ballpark is fine.
It was at least 20 or 30 years.
Oh my. And that I kind of suspected. And as much as I'm a loud advocate for the equal rights for life for unborn children, mm-hmm. I am deeply, deeply moved by the harm to women and wanting to end that injustice as well. And I have relationships and friends who provide post-abortion counseling. And it is a common recurring theme that decades of post-traumatic stress will follow many, many, if not most, abortions. And it's nothing uncommon for a 50 or 60 or sometimes older lady to come in and have this terrible secret that she's never told anybody.
Yes.
And she feels like she can't express guilt or remorse because she's been told by everybody that there's nothing to feel ashamed about. There's nothing to feel guilty mm-hmm. about. Nothing wrong happened. Nothing living died. And the truth has been denied, and they've been literally denied the opportunity for closure and grief mm-hmm. and mourning.
Yes.
And it's just a horrible insult and injustice perpetrated upon women on top of another one. And it doesn't surprise me that, it was many decades for this particular
Many
lady.
Of these women have been suffering for decades. Mm. Yeah. And they even say that even after you've received healing, and most of these women, the one thing that binds them, well, there are two things that bind them. They all had an abortion. Mm. They all have a different story to tell, but they had that abortion. Their lives were devastated. Even if they were forced, I can't believe the women, even that they were forced. Mm. And they said, I'm sorry, I didn't protect you.
Yeah.
And that is so heartbreaking. Yeah. So they're broken, they're devastated. But the other thing that these women that have really gotten healing, the other thing they have in common is they found their healing in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
They've come to Him with their brokenness.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful what God can do if they will come to Him. He comes and He picks up the broken pieces.
Yeah.
These women, okay, will just tell about how He came and forgave me of this sin that I thought was the greatest sin that could not be forgiven. Right. And He's given these ladies a new hope, a new joy, and He's using them to tell others this wonderful news and also to bring His healing to other women. And it's just amazing. I look at these ladies and so many of them are involved in these great ministries. Mm. It's so beautiful to see how God can take what we thought was the most terrible thing. Once again, what you thought was the most terrible thing that could happen to you.
Yep.
And God could turn it around to help so many others.
Yeah.
It
is beautiful. Certainly this is evil architected from the devil. This is pure demonic evil, the slaughter of unborn children. And it predates civilization. The Canaanites were doing it when Israel was given the promised land, offering their children in the fires of Molech. The pagans in ancient Rome were doing it at the Temple of Diana, abandoning unwanted children to the wild animals and elements. And today, the radical feminist movement is doing it and promising all kinds of prosperity and autonomy and false promises of identity and empowerment. But what the devil intended for horrific harm to the sacred image of femininity and ends up in being horrible ashes and destruction, God turns around and makes trophies of grace out of them, trophies of His grace, and becomes amazing stories of victory and overcoming. And these women do end up quite often having the potential for massive ministry and multiplied positive impact on the world to bring about the end of this suffering and saving many lives in the process. And that is that is just beautiful. I love the way your photography is helping them to do that, empowering them to do that, enabling their stories to be shared. Because words are great, but as we all know, a picture is worth a thousand words.
Yes.
And thank you so much for doing the work you're doing, but thank you also for taking the time to sharing it with the viewers on Pello Talk today. Are there any final thoughts or exhortations, encouragements you'd have for us?
Yes. Well, I would like to help people if they would like to find my projects. Okay. Please. So my regular photography is www.preciousbabyphotography.com. To find the After the Abortion series, that's actually just a Facebook page. It's After the Abortion Photography by Angela Forker. So it's just a Facebook page. I don't have a website for that yet. But yeah, if they like that page or if they follow that page, then they'll see these pictures as they come up. And there are just some very, very powerful pictures. I have women from all around the world writing to me saying, thank you for the healing that I found through these photos. And that prayer that I prayed, God, I pray that people would come to you through my photography. I have women from around the world saying, please help me find forgiveness. Can you help me find my way to God? And I just, that prayer that I thought was so crazy, it's happening all because I said yes to God when I really didn't want to. I would just like to encourage everybody, you know, newborn photography, I thought was the most insignificant gift that I could offer to God. But if you give God anything, I don't care how insignificant it seems, any gift, it's kind of like that little boy with the loaves and the fishes. He gave it to Jesus and Jesus fed 5,000 people. And so little is much when you give it to God. So I'd just like to encourage everyone, give your gifts to God and ask him how he can use you. Because if you do, you will be surprised at how God uses you. And you might be shocked like me. He might ask you to do something that's uncomfortable. But if you're willing to say yes to him, God can use you to do great things for him.
So true, Angela. So very true. Look, if you are a mother, if you're facing an unplanned pregnancy, or if you have had an abortion in the past, I want you to know that you're not alone and that there's many, many people who care for you. If you're in Australia, head to sanctityoflifesunday.com.au and click on the link in the menu to community. And there you're going to find links to lots of community organizations that are run by volunteers who are qualified, and they are there to support you, whether it's in post-abortion grief counseling or whether it's to support you with non-judgmental, confidential and qualified counseling to help you make a decision at what must be a very difficult time for you. So those services are there. I'll research some extras and maybe Angela can point me to some for American viewers.
Yes, definitely deeperstill.org. Those healing retreats are incredible. They are life-changing.
We'll put the links to that in the description beneath this video and on my website, davepello.com, where this video will be embedded, but also on YouTube and Facebook and elsewhere. Because we want you to have healing. We want you to find forgiveness. Yes. We want to help. And we want to help women avoid that pain and that trauma.
Definitely.
So, you know, 70% of women who have had an abortion have said when surveyed that they would have made a different decision. They would have chosen life if just one person had have been there to support them. As that lady who many decades later, she just wanted her mum to support her and her mum wasn't there for her at that time. Maybe a friend could have made a difference where that mum was the problem. Maybe that's the call for us who aren't in that situation, that we can say when somebody discloses to us that that's in their past or a decision that they're facing right now, that we're there to support them without judgment.
That's where our gifts come into play.
Exactly.
You might have a gift that you don't think is very significant, but maybe your gift is hospitality. Maybe you are gifted just to have extra finances that you could help somebody that is in need, that is having a baby, an unplanned pregnancy.
So important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I just say for anyone, you might be that parent with a child with special needs, or you might be that woman facing an unplanned pregnancy, or maybe you are that post-abortive woman. You are not alone. God sees you and he cares so much about you. And he's just waiting for you to run to him with open arms. And he has grace. If you need forgiveness, he has forgiveness for you. You are not alone. I think that's the most important thing. There are people who do care. And so I hope that you will get into those groups of people who do want to love and support you and offer you that help that you need.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you for your honesty. Even when it doesn't look good for you, and how you were prepared to find forgiveness and then obedience to Christ. And thank you for coming on Pillow Talk, Angela.
Yes, thank you so much.
Well, that's it for Pillow Talk for this very special episode. Good news is there's currently some plans in motion to bring Angela to Australia in 2020, about the middle of the year. But as you heard, her work is done without charge. And so we're going to need some people to help with some donations to bring her here, because the flights aren't cheap from America to Australia. And it takes a lot of time out of somebody's life just to make a return trip here. And then they don't want to be here for 5 minutes and have to make that long trip back. If you would like to help do that, donations are not yet open, but we are collecting expressions of interest so that when that actually does kick off, we can contact you and let you know that the opportunity is open. And if you would like to be part of making that happen and bringing Angela's ministry to Australia, I invite you to send me an email or message me through my social media channels. That email address is dave@pellowtalk.com. And we'll just contact you privately when the time is. And there's no pressure, no obligation if your circumstances change or anything. But I'm sure there'll be many people who would love to bring Angela's message, celebrating life at every stage and with all kinds of differences to Australia and help that message be broadcast among this nation, because it is life-changing, life-affirming, life-celebrating and very healing and restorative, as you've seen. Don't forget, in February, we have the Church and State Summit in Brisbane, and we're also doing tour stops in Auckland, Melbourne, and Sydney beforehand with special guest speaker, Dr. Michael Brown. And that also needs donations here and now and ready to go. But if you don't want to donate, you should at least get your ticket now instead of the day before to help us again pay for those airfares to bring these great speakers from around the world to Australia. And that's at churchandstate.com.au. And as always, don't forget to head to davepellow.com to get the latest episodes and articles. You can follow me in podcast on Apple Podcast, on Spotify Podcast, SoundCloud, and probably a couple of others as well. And all the social media channels, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, at Dave Pellow. But make sure you're getting the newsletters. And as always, thank you to the Pellow Talk partners whose regular financial investment makes stories like this possible to be brought to you. And in the meantime, I'll see you all in the comments. Hey there, this is Dave Pellow. Just letting you know, if you want more from Pellow Talk, then you should head to my website, davepellow.com, and subscribe to email updates. You can also join the debate on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This episode of Pellow Talk was made possible by the generous monthly sponsorship of Pellow Talk Partners.